Hello, wonderful members of the Open Heart Project. It is great to see you. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together today for 10 minutes, and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you, or if you like to kneel, that's fine too. Or you can sit in a chair or on the sofa, and all of that is equally spiritual. So don't worry about sitting on the floor as a necessity. And if you do sit in a chair, see if you can sit with your feet flat on the floor and in all cases have a sense of upliftedness and dignity in your posture. And before we sit today, I want to say Happy New Year. May 2025 be a year of peace and liberty for all and sanity. It's my number one wish. And as we enter a new year, I think it is reasonable to sort of revisit some basics about our meditation practice. And the basics that I'm talking about are the three biggest, well, four. I added a fourth one. The biggest misconceptions about meditation practice that may prevent our practice from deepening when we believe in them. So, the first and the number one and the biggest misconception about meditation, I hope you're listening, is that you have to stop thinking. No, you do not. Also, you cannot. So please don't worry if you think, well, I can't meditate because I can't clear the mind of thought or I can't stop thinking. Oh, guess what? Welcome to everyone else's world. Of course, you can't stop thinking. There's no off switch. In Buddhist thought, mind is considered a sense perception, like eyes and ears and nose and so forth. And these guys do not have an off switch, and neither does that guy. So if you spend time in your practice wishing you did different things in between your ears with your head or your thoughts, wherever they may be located, that's a waste of time, I would say. And at best, at worst, it turns into a kind of self-aggression. Why can't I stop thinking? I have so many thoughts. I bet the Buddha didn't have this many thoughts. Well, who knows? And in any case, who cares? It doesn't matter. Instead, in meditation, we take a different relationship to our thoughts. Normally, they're front and center. And you could think, understandably, well, what else do I think about except my thoughts? Well, there's all sorts of other things. And in meditation, we simply take our awareness from our thoughts. They're still happening, blah, blah, blah. But instead of putting the primary focus of attention on thoughts, we put it on something else. In our case, the something else is the breath. Although in other meditation practices, the something else could be a mantra or something you visualize, but ours, like I say, simplest, because you're already doing it. So you already have the object of meditation, which is breath. And it doesn't matter if you think a lot of thoughts or a few thoughts. However, what seems to happen that feels good is as you sit, as your meditation practice progresses, whether it's an extra couple minutes or an extra couple months, however long you do it, your mind starts to settle on its own. That's, I promise. But the more we try to get it to settle or, sort of go, hey, why don't you shut up? The further away that sense of peace gets. So you sit with your thoughts as they are, your focus attention on breath. When you stray, you come back. I'll give the full instruction in a moment. And that's all you have to do. So please don't worry about ceasing thought. The only thing you have to stop thinking is that you have to stop thinking. The second misconception that I want to mention is that meditation is a form of self-help. And while it will help you a lot, it'll help you in all sorts of ways. It helps you lower the stress hormone cortisol. It could help you get a better night's sleep. It can certainly help you become more capable at focusing and concentrating on the things that are important to you. Those are really good things. But all the chatter about how it's going to make you a better leader, a better person, seeing blissful things, whatever people may say about meditation, those things are kind of distracting. Because when you look at meditation as a way of improving yourself, and okay, yeah, it does, as mentioned, that is predicated on the idea that there's something wrong with you that needs fixing. And the most profound views of meditation start from the opposite supposition, which is there's nothing wrong with you. And the more you allow your mind to relax and to become familiar with who you really are, the more clearly you see that there's something perfect and whole and worthy and good that cannot be taken from you. And it's called you. So it's not a form of self-help. It's a spiritual practice that has the power to introduce you to your truest, deepest self. So if you're interested in that, this is a good practice for you. Another misconception that I want to mention, and I regret to inform you, is that meditation will make you more peaceful. I don't know, you see people in fields going like this when there's advertisements for meditation stuff, you're like, I'll have what they're having. However, meditators will tell you, I mean, I will tell you in any case, that as your practice takes root, you may find more moments of peace. You may be able to become more peaceful with what is disturbing, which is very beneficial. But actually, instead of converting all phenomena into an equal tone, where painful things don't hurt so much and joyful things don't get you all carried away and freaked out, or in a good way, instead of equalizing phenomena so that it's all good, meditation seems to do the opposite. It actually amplifies the inner state, which is one of the reasons that trauma sensitivity is required before beginning a meditation practice. If you have acute or chronic, most particularly trauma, should think twice about meditating or recommending it to someone else, because as mentioned, it amplifies what's going on. In meditation, we stop trying to recraft ourselves as something more ideal, and instead sit with ourselves as we are, which kind of is the ideal. So you see when you're happy, you see when you're sad, you see when you're bored, you see when you're grumpy, you see when you're confused and angry and spaced out. You see all of that. In Buddhist thought, as I was trained, that's called friendship. You extend the hand of friendship to yourself by being who you are and being with yourself as you are while you're sitting here. And there's something about that softening, not trying to fix or crank up or refashion anything about ourselves. I'm sure you're already working very hard at those kinds of things. I am. We just say, let me just sit with myself as I am. And that softening, as mentioned, opens a very large gate because we stop trying to critique or praise ourselves and we just are ourselves. A wall around our heart starts to come down. And when the wall comes down, anything can come in and anything does. So that could be an explanation for why most meditators will tell you, the more I meditate, the more I cry, the more I laugh, the more I feel, the more I see. So it's because the wall is down and we're not just looking through an old foggy lens. We're seeing things more freshly. And while that can be painful because it's painful out there, y'all, there's an upside that I want to mention that's very important. So I may not know you, but I know this about you. What you long for the most is love, insight, wisdom, creative self-expression, ease, authenticity. Those are the same thing. Those are the things that you want, I hazard a guess. And those things all have one thing in common. They are things that we receive. They are not things that we craft. Love is received. Insight is received. Creative expression is received. Ease is allowed. It's not something you work on. I'm going to try to be easeful. It doesn't work. So these things arise when we make space. And this practice can be seen as, if nothing else, and this is a big one, so it's plenty. It's the practice of receptivity, of making space, of allowing. And so if you want meditation to make you all Zen, maybe there's a practice that does that, but it's not this one. But it does something better. It makes you more genuine because you know who you are in this moment and this moment and this moment. And you develop a kind of love, I guess is the best word, for yourself, including everything that's beautiful and everything that's crazy. And that's a good love. So I guess the last misconception that I want to mention is that somehow at some point you're going to be able to do this right. Well, no. it's, of course, it's understandable to wonder, am I doing this right? Am I getting somewhere? Those are natural, normal questions. But I will tell you, from 30 plus years of experience, that as long as when you sit, you are remembering to apply the technique, even for a few moments, which is attention on breath, get distracted, come back. We'll go into it in detail in a moment. As long as you remember that, even if you can't do it well, there's no way that you can do this wrong. Ixnay. To make it even more interesting, my friends, there's also no way you can do it right. So now what? Can't do it wrong. Can't do it right. I invite you into the field beyond, as described by the poet Rumi, right doing and wrong doing. In one of his works, he says, out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. I'm meeting you there right now, y'all. This practice takes place in that field. So the last misconception I want to mention is that you're sitting there, you're going, oh, this is boring. It is. It's not working. There's nothing happening and I'm busy and I got things to do. I can't afford to sit here doing nothing. Okay, maybe that's true. But where we want to look for the benefits of meditation is not while we're meditating. While we're meditating, nothing happening. That's the whole point. Actually, it becomes clear at some point that meditation is hard and boring. And anyone who tells you otherwise, they may not be wrong, but they're not meditating because it's just not easy. And it's kind of boring. And that's the good part because you stop trying to entertain yourself. So when you're sitting, you're like, oh, I wonder what's for lunch. Why does my knee hurt? Why did I say that thing 50 years ago? Whatever it is that we're thinking. And you let go and you come back to the breath. Seems like nothing's going on because nothing is. But when you look back, you see that your whole life has started to change. So that's where we want to look for the results in our lives, in our reactions, in the way we hold pain, in the way we feel about others who we like or hate. That's where we're looking for the results. And that's where we will see the results. So not while you're sitting here, but in your post-meditation practice, which is what meditators call the rest of your life, that's where we want to see results. And you will. Don't take my word for that. Don't take my word for anything. I really mean that. You got to try all this for yourself and see, because the real teacher, Not me, don't look over here. Your own wisdom. So may this practice introduce you directly and without obstacle to that profound inner teacher. And at the same time, we're sitting here doing nothing. So, no big whoop, as they used to say. So let's sit. Establish your posture again by sitting up straight, your version of straight, and give your weight to the cushion or chair. Feel heavy from the waist down and feel light and expansive and receptive from the waist up. Same time, you're just sitting there doing nothing, so keep it simple. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. And they're just resting. Soften the front body a lot. Let your belly soften, the area around your heart, your throat. Three gates: intuition, emotion, speech. Whoever designed them left them open all the time. But that's okay. We can relax with that openness and the sense of strength in the back body to support that sort of sweet vulnerability of openness. And let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And relax everything to do with speech, muscles of the jaw, the tongue, throat. The inclination to speak can also be just let go because you don't need it right now. You can be silent, which is divine. Because if you look inside, there is no one talking. It is quiet. So you can relax into your own natural quietude. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. But otherwise, just breathing. No breathing technique. You're genius already at breathing. So just keep doing that. Breathing in and out. The eyes are open, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And it doesn't matter what you're looking at. In fact, see if you can direct your gaze into the middle distance and rouse the sense of vision mixing with the space in front rather than targeting anything in particular. Unless that doesn't make sense, in which case, don't do it. But otherwise, the eyes are open, the gaze is cast down, and the eyes are soft. Relax the brow. Let your attention rest on the feeling of the body breathing. So we're not observing the breath, we're feeling the breath. The inhale, the exhale. The next inhale just happens, so feel it come all the way in. See if you can spot when it turns into an exhale, although don't try too hard because it's a fluid motion. And feel the full exhale to the very end, where there will be a little gap, and the next inhale just happens. So begin again, feeling this inhale and this exhale. The mind will continue to think thoughts, as you already know, no problem. Just sort of imagine that they're like people talking out on the street or in the yard or wherever you live, somewhere out there. And you can sort of hear voice, but not content. Just blah, blah, blah. But right here is the warmth of your own breath. And that's what we want to stay absorbed in to the best of our ability. Breathing in and out while this happens. Most of your thoughts will come and go on their own. Don't worry about them. You don't have to do anything. Only in this case, you spaced out. You become absorbed in a line of thought to the point where you are no longer feeling your body breathe. You're just thinking your thoughts. Okay. Good to know. You stop meditating. So you notice that. This is the instruction. Notice it. Label it silently, thinking. Let go. Just let go. Doesn't matter what the thought is right now. And then gently walk your attention back to the breath and begin again. So it doesn't matter how often or how infrequently you have to do this. Just you space out. Something inside you goes, hey, you spaced out, which is pretty cool. And then you let go. You notice your thinking. Let go. Come back and begin again. So we'll sit together in silence for a few minutes till you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Very important. Thank you for practicing with me. It makes me happy. And thank you for practicing together. See you next year.